Hi there, friends. Nathan Pierce here with Family Protection Ministries, here with another episode of the podcast. I'm going to be talking a little bit about some different pieces of legislation that passed last year or have been introduced this year. I'm going to talk a little bit about some things happening in the legislative process right now, what deadlines we have some coming up here in the next few weeks or months, and then we'll talk a little bit about some news stories that will impact us. So let's go ahead and get started.
Welcome to the Frontline with FPM, where we talk about California politics, homeschool freedom, parental rights, and the family. I'm your host, Nathan Pierce, and thanks for joining us today. Let's jump right in and see what's going on here on the Frontline.
Our encouragement for today is from Psalm 147. Verses 5 and 6. Psalm 147, verses 5 and 6. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. This is a good reminder that no matter what's going on around us, no matter what's going on in terms of the governing of our country or our state, we can trust that our Lord is great. He is mighty in power. And ultimately, and he knows everything. That's there in verse 5. But then also, he lifts up the humble. And sometimes it might not happen in the timing that we think it ought to, but he says he casts the wicked down to the ground. This all happens in God's timing. But remember that he does lift up the humble, and that's who we should seek to be. So as we look at the issues of our day, let's continue on in humility and remember that our God is great. All right, first we're going to talk a little bit about a bill that went through the legislature last year, was signed into law by Governor Newsom, and is going into effect this year, 2025. This bill, the bill is AB 2999. This bill introduced by Assemblymember Schiavo from Santa Clara. And this bill was interesting because it sort of arose out of a discussion that took place during our Capitol Day last year. Last year, we had a family visiting legislators in the state Capitol building, and the discussion went to things around extracurricular activities that students were doing. Homeschool students were able to do their regular school and extracurricular things. And this sort of sparked the interest of a particular legislator and staff member. And the discussion was because there was an understanding that in that office already that there was a heavy burden of homework on students in public schools. And so the homeschool family was immediately started to be asked about the concept of a bill being introduced to sort of limit homework for public school students. And that's kind of where we came with this bill, 2999. And the legislator wanted to pursue that and decided that if homeschool students could do it, then public school students could too. It remains to be seen how this will actually play out. The bill did pass, and the idea behind the bill is that the State Department of Education will look into the amount of homework that is put on kids in public schools. They will give some recommendations, and school districts will be required to write up a new policy on homework assignments and the amount of homework. And this comes out of just a feeling that there's too much homework placed on students. Now, this could be for a wide range of reasons for different students. But ultimately, when homeschool students are able to work through learning at a faster rate because they simply have the option to have more one-on-one instruction time with a teacher, anytime you have that opportunity, you're going to be able to have a higher impact education experience, a higher impact education time period. Time spent is better time spent because it's learning with a one-on-one instructor is going to achieve a higher rate of success. So forcing this to happen through policy for students in public schools, I don't know how that's going to work ultimately, but it is interesting that these ideas were sparked from a recognition that homeschool students are able to achieve more and higher success rates come from being able to really achieve more during the school, regular school hours, so that ultimately they have more non-school hours. In other words, they're able to achieve more outside of what would be considered traditional school work, because that the time needed for the traditional school work is less for those students with one-on-one instruction, i.e. homeschoolers. So looking at all of this, it's just a good reminder that homeschooling works, and we can appreciate the opportunities that our students have to sort of work outside the box in terms of what extracurricular activities they're able to take an interest in and get involved in. And also, you might find it interesting to see how government is trying to impose restrictions on public school classrooms and teachers that are trying to get students to learn. I'm sure there's a lot of great teachers out there. It must be really difficult to manage a full classroom and still try to get students to learn. And with this bill in place, try to do it with less homework, less study at home. So we'll see how that works. But I just thought it was an interesting story how this sort of sparked out of the interests of legislators and staff members in homeschool students' ability to have extracurricular activities above and beyond what normally a public school student would be able to participate in. So a great pitch for another benefit of homeschooling. All right, another story. This is out of... This is a story that's kind of come out of the response to the post-Roe decision, the Roe v. Wade being reversed, and new laws being put into place in California and across the country about sex education. This headline in particular is from RewireNewsGroup.com. And RewireNewsGroup.com, I'm citing that because their article is telling, but I do not recommend this as a news source. So check it out, especially before you send your kids there. But I'll give you the headline so you can look it up if you want. This story headline is, "Legislators are targeting sex education post-Roe. Advocates say it will worsen children's health outcomes." Now, the bottom line here with this story is that ultimately, they're concerned because fewer students are being exposed to sex ed in schools, particularly certain types of sex ed. And when you look at the laws that have been put into place post Roe v. Wade, you see a lot more restrictions and things that are more blatant in the sex ed instruction. And it's becoming less and less comfortable for parents to have their kids in those classes. And so more and more parents are choosing to pull their kids out of these sex ed courses and say, no, I'm going to opt my student out of those programs because I'm just not comfortable with that. I'm going to talk with my kid about it. And some on the more liberal side are arguing that that's not a good thing for these kids. These kids need to have more access to information about sexual health and various providers that are out there, like Planned Parenthood, and what they can do for you. And parents are just not interested in that. More and more parents are pulling their kids out of those programs. They want to give instruction to their children at home, as I think they should. And they're taking their parental responsibility a little bit more seriously. And people that are more liberal tend to not like those ideas, that they want students to receive a more uniform instruction provided by the government on these particular issues that have traditionally stayed at home. Let's move on to some other issues, looking at the conflict between Governor Gavin Newsom's view on homelessness in California. He thinks we're doing very well. There's a couple other news stories out right now. There's some discussion about how there's continued crime problems in California, and indeed California did vote on a proposition, Prop 36, to deal with crime issues. And there's a range of crime issues in the state of California, and crime is a problem here. But Gavin Newsom is referring to people as being essentially being overreacting and saying that there's not really that significant of a crime problem here. In fact, he said that in the city of Oakland, while there's a string of In-N-Out restaurants that are being shut down in the city of Oakland, specifically due to the crime problem in Oakland. So it's pretty ironic that Governor Newsom would actually say that there's a problem, that there's not necessarily a growing problem with crime when stores are shutting down because of it still. And maybe it was more in the news a couple of years ago, but it's not going away. This is still an active problem in our state. And in some areas, it's actually increasing to the point where stores are having to shut down, such as the In-N-Out stores in Oakland, right where he was talking about crime not being a significant issue. All right. In the coming months, we're going to be seeing some bills introduced. There will probably be about 3,000 bills introduced in the next 2 months. It's now the 2nd of January, and between now and the end of February, we'll see about 3,000 new bills introduced. And the first step for legislators to take in getting their bills figured out is to have the bill idea. Now, some legislators have bills that are their own idea, some have bills that they introduce that are their staffers' ideas, and some of them get them from constituents and from other places. Ultimately, a legislator has to buy into the idea of a bill before they introduce it. Then they have to write up the bill, and that usually involves Ledge Counsel. This is the group of attorneys that works for the legislature to help write legislation the way that it would end up in the code in California statute. And so when you have a bill idea, to get it into a bill form, it takes a little bit of work fine-tuning the language and getting it ready to be introduced. So they run the language through Ledge Counsel first, because that's the first requirement. Ledge Counsel might say, oh yeah, you've got all your ducks in a row, good job, and format the bill for introduction. Otherwise, they might say, oh, this isn't going to work, let's try moving it to this code section and tweak this language. Whatever the case may be, it has to go through Ledge Counsel first, then the legislator can introduce it in the House. And the active step of doing that is actually putting it across the desk. In both houses, the California State Senate, which has 40 members, and the California State Assembly, which has 80 members, each of those floor chambers has a big, long desk across the front of it, and it is just called the desk. And so when a senator wants to introduce a bill, they run it through Ledge Counsel to make sure that their lingo is all accurate and they've got the code sections all lined up and all the language is good. Then they put it across the desk. And what that means is they take their bill that they've gotten approved, that they've gotten the language worked out on, they take that bill, and they actually set it on a desk and they hand it across that desk to the person sitting on the other side. That activity is called putting it across the desk. Once the bill is across the desk, then it's formally introduced. They give it a bill number. Then it gets assigned to the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee decides, well, what committees are we going to assign it to? And where does it have to go before it can come back to the chamber for a final vote from that house before moving to the other house? The Rules Committee has a lot of authority, so that's one of the places we watch when we see bills introduced, and the Rules Committee decides what committees it's going to get assigned to. And that can mean that, say, a bill that deals with education gets assigned to the Education Committee, it may get assigned to a couple of other committees as well. But it depends on what the Rules Committee thinks. So it doesn't always make sense to you or I, but they get to decide which committees it goes to, whether it gets a single referred, which means it goes to one committee, or if it gets double referred, two committees, or maybe even gets triple referred, it goes to three committees. Either way, it may go to a policy committee, maybe a fiscal committee, where they decide if we have enough money to implement the bill. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it goes through committees and then back to that House to get voted on by the whole chamber before it goes to the other House. It goes through committees there and then comes back to that chamber before going to the governor's office for his signature or veto. So that's it for today. I just wanted to give you that update. We'll be seeing more bills in the coming days, and hope you have a great rest of your week and Happy New Year. God bless. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Frontline with FPM. For more information about the topics we discuss here, check out Family Protection Ministries at fpmca.org and subscribe to our channel.